Radio Prague News.
The Czech tennis player Tomáš Berdych has won the Japan Open in Tokyo. Czech police have arrested an American man wanted in Austria for the theft of jewelry valued at nearly 4.5 million euros. And some disappointment has been expressed over the first NHL ice hockey game ever played in the Czech Republic. The Czech tennis player Tomáš Berdych has won the Japan Open in Tokyo. Berdych, seeded ninth, beat Juan Martín del Potro of Argentina 6-1, 6-4 in Sunday's final to take the fourth ATP title of his career and his first since Halle in June last year. Berdych, who stunned second seed Andy Roddick in the semifinals, picked up $135,000 for the win. Police in Ostrava have arrested an American man wanted in Austria in connection with jewel robbery, a spokesperson said on Sunday. The man, who is 33, is suspected of being behind two robberies in Salzburg this year, involving jewelry worth nearly 4.5 million euros. He was arrested on Wednesday, a day after police in Ostrava received a request from a court in Salzburg for assistance in looking for him. Some disappointment has been expressed over the first NHL ice hockey game ever held in the Czech Republic. New York Rangers beat Tampa Bay Lightning 2-1 in a curtain raiser for the new NHL season at Prague's O2 Arena in front of almost 17,000 fans on Saturday evening. However, Czech media outlets reported that there was little atmosphere at the game, and with a number of new players on each team, the standard of hockey wasn't particularly high. Tampa's Czech forward Václav Prospal said afterwards that fans at NHL games normally didn't cheer on their teams as much as supporters in the Czech Extraliga. Prospal said he himself was not disappointed with the atmosphere and hadn't expected two sets of hardcore fans. The second game in the two-match series takes place on Sunday evening. Preparations are being made to change the antenna on the Žižkov television tower in Prague on Monday. Streets around the city's tallest and most futuristic building will be closed off, and while a helicopter is overhead, local residents will be barred from leaving their homes. The helicopter to be used is a Russian Kamov Ka-32, capable of carrying heavy loads and described as a kind of flying crane. It will carry out the operation in three or four flights. The antenna on the 216-metre-high tower needs to be replaced to improve reception of digital television signals. The Žižkov TV tower, completed in 1992, also serves as a transmitter for FM radio and mobile communications. The weather, finally, it should get gradually warmer in the coming days, with temperatures set to reach up to 20 degrees Celsius. Forecasters say it'll be quite sunny with rain at times. My name is Ian Willoughby. You'll find several more stories at radio.cz. But for now, that's the end of the news.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's show, Mailbox with Pavla Horáková, in which she'll answer your questions and quote from your letters, followed by a letter from us, a letter from Prague, or rather this time round from Prague, Nebraska, visited by Jan Richter in the late summer. And then we'll offer you another edition of Music Profile, our monthly show introducing Czech bands and solo artists. Today, Jan Richter will introduce rock musician Vladimír Mišík. All that coming your way, but first, Pavla opens the mail.
Hello and welcome to Mailbox. As promised, today we will disclose the identity of our September mystery man. So let's get straight to it. Robin Wisdom writes from England.
I think the answer to your question is Karel Rais, although I believe he went to Cambridge, not Oxford, as per your report. He was a patron of the British Film Institute. Probably the most famous film which he directed was The French Lieutenant's Woman, starring Meryl Streep.
You are indeed right. According to most sources, Carrel read chemistry at Emmanuel College at Cambridge, even though some sources do cite Oxford. Luckily, that piece of misinformation did not mislead any of you, and all the answers were correct. Helmut Matt from Germany wrote,
"It didn't take me long to find the answer to your new question of the month. Sweet Dreams and The French Lieutenant's Woman were probably Carol Rice's most famous movies. He was one of 669 refugees rescued by Sir Nicholas Winton from Nazi death camps in the so-called Czech Kindertransport."
Jayanta Chakrabarti from India has a personal memory.
"I still remember the screening of The French Lieutenant's Woman in a cine club in Calcutta in my college days. The masterly handiwork of this creative genius not only evoked a strong imprint, but also provoked a lasting thought and emotion in my young mind."
David Hewitt lives in Prague.
Karel Reis did not direct or produce a great number of films, but his work was indeed very influential. His Saturday Night and Sunday Morning, adapted from the novel by Alan Sillitoe, introduced Albert Finney as the main character. It was one of a number of films in the early 60s that depicted the life at the time as being stultifying and oppressive. The film shows the possibility of a different way of life that led in many ways to the cultural spirit of the later 60s. He also introduced Jeremy Irons and Meryl Streep in The French Lieutenant's Woman, another adaptation from a novel, in this case by John Fowles. This film was very influential in the 70s and had a screenplay by Harold Pinter.
David Griffiths also lives in the Czech Republic.
"I have never entered your competitions before, but the answer to this one I actually know. One of my all-time favourite films, This Sporting Life, about a rugby league player, that's the professional rugby game born in the north of England, my true home, was produced by Karel Rice, who was Czech and came originally from Ostrava."
Paul R. Peacock listens to Radio Prague in Australia.
"The gentleman you seek is Karel Rice, who died only 6 years ago in London. His parents died in Auschwitz, after which he moved to the United Kingdom in 1938 and joined the Royal Air Force. When the Second World War ended, he went to Cambridge and studied natural sciences and began writing for film journals. In 1959, he produced a film, We Are the Lambeth Boys, but his first feature film came in 1960, Saturday Night and Sunday Morning. In the mid-70s, he moved to Hollywood and began to produce many other films, the most recognizable one to me being The French Lieutenant's Woman in 1981.
David Eldridge from England regularly takes part in our competitions.
He built up an alliance with people like Lindsay Anderson, Gavin Lambert in 1947, and later with Tony Richardson, and in 1956 co-founded the Free Cinema Documentary Film Movement of England. Many of the films of the British New Wave are still being shown in specialist British cinemas, as they are an important social commentary on British life of the middle of the 20th century, as well as being very entertaining films in themselves.
Colin Law from New Zealand sent a detailed answer as usual.
"Shortly after the end of the Second World War, my family relocated from England to New Zealand, and being only 8 years old, I reckon that I experienced a degree of culture shock. But my experience becomes insignificant when I consider what Karel Rice must have felt when, at the age of 12, he was evacuated to England. He had left his parents behind in Czechoslovakia, knowing that they may not see each other again. He had to learn a new language when he attended Leighton Park Quaker School, where his older brother Paul had been enrolled a few years earlier. As Karel had been born into a Jewish family, he may also have found the Quaker values unfamiliar. But Karel Rice overcame the obstacles and won respect and esteem as a filmmaker, critic, educator, and stage director."
Charles Konesny writes from Ohio.
"I know very little about New Wave and free cinema movements, but Karel Rice had a big impact in the cinema industry, being described as one of the most important filmmakers in the post-World War period. He was also very generous in helping others get started in film. The Czechs certainly have had their share of noted film directors. It must be in the genes."
Barbara Ziemba lives in the United States.
"He was a man who wore many different coats throughout his life. As a teenager, he was flying fighters for the Royal Air Force. Later, he became a teacher, writer, both books and for journals, a theatre director and filmmaker. Throughout his movie career, he only directed 11 movies, but was very well known for his ambition, innovativeness, great skills and ability in filmmaking."
Roger Christie listens to Radio Prague in England.
I believe your September mystery check is Karel Reis, a prolific film director. His 1960s so-called masterwork, Saturday Night and Sunday Morning, was voted by the British Film Academy as one of the 20 best British films of all time.
Thank you very much again for your interesting and well-researched answers. This time, four small gifts are on their way to Savita Telles from India, Don Schumann from the United States, Robin Wisdom from England and Yuri Nikolaev from Sweden. Congratulations. There's a brand new question for everyone who would like to give it another try this month. We would like to know the name of the architect who designed the Hiroshima Prefectural Industrial Promotion Hall, known today as the Hiroshima Peace Memorial or the Atomic Bomb Dome. Please send your answers to english@radio.cz or Radio Prague 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic, by the end of October. Next week we'll read from your regular letters. Until then, take care.
Pavla will be back same time next week, and if you'd like to check out this week's mailbox, or any other features for that matter, you can do so at www.radio.cz. And now it's time for Letter from Prague, in which Jan Richter will take us rather far from home.
One summer day in 1994, a van stopped outside my aunt and uncle's house in a village near Třebíč in western Moravia. Four men got out, knocked on the door, and addressed my relatives, Ahoj, jak se máš, in Czech without an accent. They were the Vrbka brothers, with a cousin from Nebraska, looking for their roots in the old country. This summer I got to repay the visit and see the long-lost part of the family for myself. My mother's family, who come from the Třebíč area, are also Vrbkas, and the American Vrbkas believe that there was a connection. I don't know if there was one or not, and I don't think it's important. The important thing is that our families have been in touch ever since, and so we included Nebraska in our summer itinerary. We arrived in the Cornhusker State in early September, after a journey through the South and a relaxing week in Austin, Texas. I only saw my distant Nebraskan relatives briefly during their visit back in the 1990s, but we immediately got on and felt as if we'd known each other for a long time. The first relative we visited, Lorenz Vrbka, actually lives in a small town in Iowa, but the next day we set out for a tour of Czech heritage sites in Nebraska, just across the Missouri River. Our first stop was Plassey, one of the first Czech settlements in the region, of which only the Church of St. Cyril and Methodius remains, with a cemetery where the first Vrbkas are buried. Next was Prague, or Prague, Nebraska, a small community with some 500 inhabitants. Small it may be, but it has something no other place has, the Kolachi Corner. It's a family restaurant run by Mark Niemetz, with a Czech beer on tap, Czech posters on the wall and Kolachi on the menu. We said Dobrý den upon entering, and several guests did actually answer back in Czech. Larry treated us for lunch, which was not very Czech. I think we had prime rib sandwich, but we sure had some kolachi after that. The Kolachi Corner was also about the only place in the United States that allows people to smoke. Mark Niemetz was dubbed the Prince of Prague by a local radio station. He told us all about the history of the town, the fact that young people don't care about their Czech heritage anymore, and also about the visit of Petr Kolář, the Czech ambassador to the United States, to the Kolachi Corner. After Prague, we went to David City, a town where the rest of the family live. Geraldine, Virgil and Lorenz were all very nice, took us around, then we spent the rest of our stay in Nebraska with them. They can still speak Czech, and they don't have an accent. Our visit to Nebraska was definitely a highlight of the trip.
Jan Richter with that edition of Letter from Prague. If you've visited the Czech capital, do share your impressions with us. Tell us what you liked and what you hated about our city. We'll be glad to hear from you, as always, at english@radio.cz. Now it's time for a fresh edition of Music Profile with Jan Richter.
Welcome to this week's Music Profile, featuring a prominent figure of Czech rock music, the singer-songwriter Vladimír Mišík. In a career spanning three decades, his style always included intelligent music combined with meaningful lyrics, but it never lost its punch. Vladimír Mišík started off in the mid-1960s and soon became one of the most impressive personalities of Big Beat, as rock music was known in Czechoslovakia back then. He recorded his first album Meditace in 1970 with the band Blue Effect. It featured his first big hit called Sluneční hrob, or Sunny Grave.
usínám a chtěl bych se vrátit o nějaký ten rok zpátky. Být zase malým klukem, který si rád hraje a který je s tebou.
Since the 1970s, Vladimir Mišík has often worked with poets, most notably Josef Kainar and Václav Hrabě, and recently with Jiří Dědeček. His third album appeared in 1976 and included the ballad Stříhali do hola malého chlapečka. 2 years later, the album was recorded in English, including the title song They Cut Off the Little Boy's Hair.
They cut off the hair of the little boy. His curls were falling lifeless to the ground. His curls were falling like roses into the grave. Round the steel chair kept turning. Gray-haired gentleman immersed round the walls. Merely sat and watched. How the lad was trapped and beguiled. That white apron around his neck. One of the men, a lame cello teacher, burst out laughing and they all made a stir. Burst out laughing and it made a sound like raw meat slapping on the floor. Has his eyes on the little boy, like one small animal staring at another. Not yet seizing or grabbing the other's shirt, but already. In the morning, he puts his favorite pot on the little stove that's always going out. And his thoughts go wandering far away, always off the beam and a bit lukewarm. Longing that itches like a ration soapy water, longing that itches after the little usher. Sitting in the cafe on the line of coats, looking like lads who've been hanged. Thank you. They got all the hair of the little boy. He sees how it looks, he mustn't move. He must not move on his chair of steel. Now he's in for it.
This album was the first Vladimir Mishik recorded with his newly formed band, ETC, which he has played with ever since. Between 1976 and 1987, he put out four records with them, numbered 1 to 4. Vladimir Mishik and ETC 3 appeared in 1986, following a break of several years caused by a ban imposed on Vladimir Mishik by the communist authorities. In the song Blues o Krestnich Listech, or Birth Certificates Blues, Mishik turns once again to Josef Kaina for the lyrics.
Něcova dního je v našich křestních listech, něco milnýho je v našich osudech. Jednou nám z rána řeknou u cepášky, přišli jsme, nebylo vyhnutí. Vyprásneš, to není čele. Vyprás platíte, míněš-li houpele. Vy nejste zrození, jste jenom vytnutí. Čeká, abych se do očí té jitřní krátko lebe. Jestli jsme vymknutí, my nebolíme jim. Pod špatným drahoušku jdeme dále bolet.
For many Czech musicians, the 1990s were a difficult time as audiences no longer felt the need to channel their opposition to the regime through music. But the change did not affect Vladimir Mishik, since he has always aimed deeper than that. In 1990, he supported the Rolling Stones at their memorable Prague concert and started off with Dvacet deka duše, or perhaps a quarter pound of soul.
Pár kousků pravdy, litr svědomí. Leč prodavačka odjetila suš. Jak jsou ty lidi dneska pitomí.
Last year, Vladimir Mishik toured the Czech Republic to celebrate his 60th birthday. Besides all his past hits, his performances also features his latest pieces, which came out in 2004 on the album Umlkli stroje, Machines Fell Silent.
Neteče voda, co má být? Mně je to jedno, nebudu se mejt. Nejde plyn, asi jsem strhnul závit. Nevadí, nebudu se trávit. Nevadí, nebudu se trávit. I telefon má nějakou poruchu. Vzal jsem ho klackem, šel mi pouchu. Zasek se zip a nejde prout. Nic nelze zapnout, ani rozepnout.
umlkli stoje, bježi jen psači, jedu do boje s civilizací.
And that edition of Music Profile with Jan Richter brings us to the end of today's program. To check out other Czech musicians, past and present, go to www.radio.cz and look for Music Profile and Magic Carpet. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for joining us today and take care.
Blující černou oblohou, zavřete dveře na petlice, zasněte v domě všechny svíce a opevněte svoje těla. Vy, kterým srdce skamenila, a bojí se, co bude z rána. Láska je jako bolest z probuzení a horké ruce hvězd, které ti oknem do vězení květiny sypou ze svatyních cest, které ti oknem do vězení květiny sypou ze svatyních cest.